All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I'm very excited by the guest that I have joining us, who is my good friend Hunter Lundy, who is an account manager over at the Philadelphia Flyers that is in the NHL, the Professional Ice Hockey League over in America. Hunter, thank you for joining us, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, Hende. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for making time for us today. So, Hunter, let's get right into it. Tell the people what it means to be an account manager at the Philadelphia Flyers, your role, your day-to-day. Let's start with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as an account manager with the Flyers, I oversee a book of business of about 430 accounts who are all season ticket holders for the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm-hmm. That's either full or half season ticket holders. And my job basically is to service them, make sure that they are happy with how the season's going, make sure they're happy with their seats, mainly focusing on the potential to upgrade and renew them for each year. We really go about the whole year trying to make sure that everybody continues to have season tickets each year. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to help them upgrade seats for a game. We have a very robust benefits program to help them get the chance to navigate through all of that. And basically just working to keep the business of each of the individuals that we have as season ticket members as a whole.
Okay. So when you say you have 430 accounts, does that mean 430 different ticket holders, essentially?
Yeah, 430 different ticket holders as a whole oversee about $3.3 million worth of revenue for the Flyers as a whole across those 430 accounts.
You said how much, sorry?
Close to $3.3 million.
Okay, wow. So for the listeners that don't know, the last time we had you on, you were working in college athletics at Florida State, to be exact. Now you're working in professional sports. Tell us how that transition has been, and what are some of the differences that you're experiencing?
Yeah, it's a very different atmosphere. I came from college football in the South in America, which is the biggest thing in the world to them, a lot of the fans down there, mm-hmm. to joining a NHL team in a majorly popular city where, in all honesty, it's probably the fourth biggest team in the city. Yeah. But it's still a very, very enjoyable experience. The difference in working in college sports and working in professional sports is immense. For a little bit of context for your listeners here, the NHL is probably firmly the fourth biggest sport in America, mm-hmm. Behind football, basketball, and baseball. So it is in terms of revenue as a whole, it's significantly lower than the other three, but just the amount of resources that I have working for a professional organization compared to working at a collegiate university are immense. I have so much more free rein and resources to offer benefits to our members, which is a very, very helpful situation that I'm in. Just a little insight to the Flyers are owned by Comcast. Okay. So it is a Fortune 50 company, which is great as an employee, get a lot of the benefits from that side as well. But that just allows us to be ahead of the curve in the league itself because we have such a major company helping finance us.
Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say you're enjoying professional sports over college sports?
I'd say so. Working in college sports, especially at a university that we both attended, you have a different affiliation and a fandom because it's like that's where you went to school, that's what you love. But I'd say working here now, it's just been a lot more stress-free. I'm focusing on one sport now compared to when we last spoke at Florida State. I oversaw all sports that we had ticketed, mm-hmm. Which was close to 10. And I had about 900 season ticket holders across all of those sports to having about 430 focusing on just one sport.
Yeah.
It lets my attention be more direct with each of my clients. I get the time to talk one-on-one with them in a way that I never had to at Florida State. Mm-hmm. Just because of the ability there. Like, just so you guys know, like one of my monthly goals is to give a call to all of my clients. Like I try to consistently be in contact with them at least once a month, touching base with them, making sure that I'm aware of their situation, making sure that they're satisfied with what they have going on with their tickets and their experience, and just try to build that relationship. And I feel like I'm a pretty good personable person. Mm-hmm. So I like that relationship building aspect of it, instead of when I was at Florida State, it was a lot more transactional, it felt like.
Yeah. And I just did the math. You said you try to call all of your clients at least once a month. That is around, if my math is correct, it's around 14 calls a day.
Yeah, that's if you're not including, you're probably including weekends on that too. So I'd say about a solid 22, 23 work days. Mm-hmm. I average anywhere from about 30 to 50 phone calls a day, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Probably closer to 20 on a slow day, but pretty consistently trying to hop on the phone. This whole relationship building aspect of it is a lot easier to do when you're talking one-on-one with somebody like we are right now, rather than just be writing an email and sitting respond. So I do try to, I prefer that anyways, just because I get to talk with the person a little bit more, and helps to just build that bond. So yeah.
And so when you're calling these people, you're just like touching base, or like exactly what are you talking about to someone who's already a season ticket holder?
A couple different things. It can be speed, touch and base. I constantly am like, hey, just wanted to give you a call here, check in, make sure that you're all set with everything, make sure there's nothing that I can do to help enhance your experience at all. Mm-hmm. That's something that I am doing a lot. But also, like, people can reach out to me all the time. So like, while I'm doing a lot of monthly check-ins, if there's an issue that's needed to be done, I'll give somebody a call and handle it, and then I don't really have to call and check in with them. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different. Like, it really can be as menial as, hey, just wanted to check in, make sure everything's going good with you, make sure you don't need anything from me. We have a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of cool benefits. So we're every month or so, we're having a new event to offer for our season ticket holders. For example, next month, we're doing a Meet the Team event. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're a full-time season ticket holder, you get the access to go and meet and take a picture with all the players on the team, which is a really unique experience. Like, I'm letting people know that event, we have the RSVP out for that, so people can sign up for it. Right now, today, actually, as we started talking, we are live with our renewal period, which, so your listeners here know, to renew your tickets, we have a 3-week period where you can opt out, make any changes you need to. And if you don't opt out of your tickets within those 3 weeks, you're financially responsible for your tickets for the next season. So like right now, I'm in the process of calling a ton of my people like, hey, just want to let you know that renewal period is out right now. If you need to make any changes or anything, that's your responsibility to go through that. So it can vary. I haven't been through this job in the deep off season. I started in September of 2025. Yeah. Once we get a little bit closer to June, July, when we are deeper in the off season, those calls will become really menial, just kind of checking in with everybody, because we're not going to have too much to offer them at that point. Season won't be going on, but mm-hmm. Still just trying to reach out and grow those relationships.
And so would you say you sell now for the tickets for next season? Would you say you would sell most of them like during this season already, or do most of your sales come once the season ends?
Yeah, good question there. So we have a team focused on just generating new business.
Okay.
At this point in the season, which we have, season goes on till April, we're almost to February right now. We have 3 months or so left of the season, and that it doesn't include a 3-week break for the Winter Olympics coming up here soon. Mm-hmm. So we're not really focused. They're not focused on selling this season really as much right now. If somebody wants to buy season tickets for the rest of the season, they'll take them of course, mm-hmm. but we're mainly focused on next season. As my role specifically, like, this is the time that I'm focused on next season the most right now, because we're trying to make sure we're selling everybody consistently. We're making sure that they want to continue their experience, want to continue their benefits. We understand things change in people's lives, but like, if somebody, we don't want somebody just dropping out because they had a bad experience or because of reasons like that. We want to consistently focus on upgrading them. And even just if it's not upgrading them, keeping them in the same spot they are,
We want to work directly with them and get the chance to do that.
No, that's cool. That's cool. And I hope the listeners can grasp that, like, you're already making money for next season, basically, because over here it doesn't work like that. Definitely not, for sure. Like, no one's planning for next season over here already. So it's good to hear how it works on the high-end professional side. I want to go back to your time at Florida State when you said you had around 900 accounts that you were managing. In comparison to the 430 that you are now, do you know the value of the 900 accounts you were managing at Florida State?
Approximately? That's a good question. Yeah, it really, to put it in perspective a little bit, my overall renewal goal at Florida State was about $3.2 million.
Okay.
So my book of business with 400 accounts here is over 3.3. So you can kind of get a good idea. Like, at Florida State, we had a lot more season ticket holders who could get away, not get away, but like, we just had smaller plans for, like, you could, for cheapest seats in the house, if you wanted to be there, you could probably have two football tickets for like $1,000 total for the season.
Yeah.
Here, like, our cheapest plan for a full season in the rafters is about $2,000 total. And that's for one ticket. Now, something to note on that too is the difference in the products. At Florida State, there, like, we had 8 or 7 foot home football games. Here we have 44 games.
Yeah.
That's 3 preseason, 41 regular season games that if you're a full season ticket holder, you get access to all of those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go over game by game, this is probably significantly less, but like, it is a different amount because it's how many people I'm dealing with and how much bigger the plans are in comparison on average.
Yeah. And just to do a quick conversion for the listeners, he said $2,000 for a season ticket in the rafters, so up high in the stadium, that's around $35,000 Namibian, just for our listeners there. I want to ask you about what's been maybe the most surprising thing in your time now in the NHL that you've
come across. That's a good question there. I'd say, well, one, being around the sport is a lot of fun, I'm sure. And our listeners here in Namibia don't get to experience the sport of ice hockey.
Yeah.
Being from Florida in America, North Florida there, ice hockey was not something that was part of my day-to-day sports watching at all. I've gotten to become really invested in it in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really super cool, fast-paced sport that's got a lot of the elements of a lot of different sports combined. It's got like the aggressiveness and way that opponents hit each other as football. It's also got the like elusiveness of like soccer. It's kind of got the fast pacedness of basketball, all while playing on ice. So in a pretty small rink. So like, it just is a really cool feat of athleticism to be really up close and personal to.
Yeah.
I'd also say just like how passionate hockey fans are as a whole. I have several people who are like diehard Flyers fans who are like, I don't care about any other sport, I only care about hockey. Mm-hmm. Hockey itself is like, for better or worse, an institution. It's a sport that, as if you're getting into it as a younger kid, it's a very expensive sport to get into.
Yeah.
Compared to like basketball or soccer, where you just need a pair of cleats and a ball. Like, for hockey, you need access to a rink, you need hockey pad and gears, you need sticks, you need all the stuff that comes with that. So like, people are really, really passionate about the sport as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool to kind of see up close and personal.
Yeah. And something our listeners might not know is that hockey, NHL is an American professional league, but most of the players are like Russian, Eastern European, and Canadian. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. NHL is an American league. I'd say, I would be surprised, I don't know the exact statistic on this, but significantly less than half of the players in the NHL are American.
Yeah.
I can actually
look that up here really quick. But yeah, it's a very international sport. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for example, 40% of the NHL players are Canadian. 28% are US and from the US, 66 are from Sweden, 46 are from Russia. It's just very, and that's from about 11 months ago. So not exactly right now, mm-hmm. but it's just a very international sport.
Yeah,
and just that, because of, go ahead.
No, so, sorry to cut you off. And I was going to say that like the best players are not, usually aren't American either. So it's quite interesting that, you know, so many Americans love a sport where the best players aren't necessarily American either.
Yeah, I would say that too. I mean, another thing I'd add about the difference in hockey and some of the other sports is that I feel like it's a very team-driven sport. And what I mean by that is, like, yeah, there are superstars in the NHL. Connor McDavid is the best player, probably the second best player to ever play in the NHL, and pacing to probably be the best by the time he retires. Mm-hmm. But outside of a few rare exceptions where, like, okay, obviously these are superstars we want to see, people care more about the team itself and the image of the team itself and the brand of the team itself than, like, wanting to go see another player. Compare that to, like, basketball, which is, like, a sport in the U.S. that, like, your biggest driving point as somebody who's in this role right here, outside of your own team, obviously you want to be your team to be successful, but, like, your biggest driving point is that you're getting to see the coolest players, the most famous players in the sport consistently. This, I'd say, is a lot more team oriented.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to talk about what it is that you're selling. Like you said, 44 home games. We're talking about a sport that's, you know, full of Europeans, full of Canadians. I want you to kind of give the listeners some insight into exactly what it is that you're selling, because whether the team wins or not, you still have to sell tickets, right? So
yeah,
explain to the listeners, like, that you're not just selling tickets, basically. You're selling, well, I'll let you say it, but you're selling an experience. Break that down for the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, obviously we want the team to win as much as possible. Winning in all sports fixes everything. The Flyers, if you look them up right now, they're kind of in the hunt for the playoffs right now. Hopefully they can make it, but right now they're not. They are a team that's been going through a bit of a rebuild. So they've had several years in a row of not competing in the playoffs. The last time they made the playoffs was in 2020, mm-hmm. during a COVID shortened year. And so they didn't even get to have a home playoff game. I don't think they've had a home playoff game in 7 years. That's not the easiest to sell to fans. You have to kind of sell both the experience and the potential future of a team. We have a lot of young talent on the team, so we're constantly hyping those players up. We have, like, the third youngest roster in the entirety of the league. Mm-hmm. So that's a plus that we can have. We're selling the potential of the team as a whole. We're also focusing too on the experience. So, like, as I mentioned, we want people to have the coolest experience they can at the arena, a great game day experience. But outside of that too, like, we know as a team that's come rebuilding, like, we try to offer as many benefits as we can to season ticket holders. We offer discounts in the stadium if you're a season ticket holder. You get, like, 20% off all concessions if you're a season ticket holder. Uh-huh. You get cool events if you're a season ticket holder. As I mentioned, the Meet the Team event. We have events that get to meet with a lot of Flyers alumni. We get events where you get to go through and, like, listen to the coach talk and answer questions directly from fans. We have all kind of cool events like that that we're able to offer to season ticket holders that across the league honestly don't exist like that. We also have the opportunity, one of our biggest benefits of people being season ticket holders is that we have a very robust transfer, exchange, and return function. So we know that as season ticket holders, the likelihood of you being able to make 44 home games is pretty slim.
Yeah.
Things come up in life. We know you're going to be busy. It happens. So what we offer to all season ticket holders is, like, the ability to exchange and return their tickets so that, like, say you can't make tonight's game
you can exchange those tickets in, get a credit for them, and then if you wanted to get two more tickets for another game, you can go through and do that, and you don't have to pay any dollars outside of what you've already paid for your tickets. If you wanted to upgrade your tickets for a game, you don't even have to get two more tickets. Say you're in the upper level, there's a game you wanted to come down and sit in the lower level, but you missed a couple games. You can use those credits to go sit in the lower level for a game. It just allows us to be able to be flexible with season ticket holders. That's something that we're very proud of, is that we have like the most flexible program like that in all of the NHL. Mm-hmm. We have to, as my position, we have to build the benefits and build the experience so that all season ticket holders have the opportunity to fall back on that when the team's not playing the greatest.
Yeah. And so speaking of a game day experience, break down a typical game day experience for one of your account holders. What does that look like?
Yeah. So for an account holder, if you're a season ticket member, you have access to go to like a private member lounge people can go hang out in. We have multiple different premium options too. We have an option that includes all you can eat food and drink. We have an option mm-hmm. that's attached to our restaurant in the stadium. Or you can just go enjoy the game and see all of the madness that occurs there. We have a very polarizing mascot named Gritty, who is a fan favorite, very influential there. I recommend our listeners here to look him up because nobody knows what he is, but he's great. Mm-hmm. On my side of that though, the my game day experience is a little different too. Like I'm constantly trying to go meet with season ticket holders. I'm trying to go visit them at their seats. I am in a position to where I get the opportunity to have some like upgrades every game that I can go and give season ticket holders who I know have had an issue or something recently, or I have the opportunity to make something up to a client. That's a really big plus that I have.
Yeah.
I also get the opportunity to every so often throughout the season, I have really cool experiences I can give accounts. So like four or five times a season, I can pick six people and we can go watch the team warm up from the bench during the game. I can go get somebody to go ride on the Zamboni, which is the machine that cleans the ice during the game. Yeah. I can get people to go watch the team warm up from the penalty box. I get the opportunity to have a post-game meet and greet with a player every once in a while. Like, I get a lot of super cool opportunities that I get to give people because my job here is just to build that experience to where everybody's having the best possible time they are at games.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. If I don't know if you're able to share this, but what's the sort of, I guess you could say, cheapest account you have, and what's the most expensive account you currently have?
Yeah, great question there. I'd say the cheapest account that I have is probably a single seat season ticket holder in the upper level shoot once areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like $1,000 for the season. I mean, that you can get through here. We offer half season plans, as I mentioned. That's like 25 games.
Yeah.
It's not an exact half, but pretty close. The most expensive account that I have, I was actually touching base with them today as we were getting ready for our renewal period. They have four seats. We have an area called Prime Point Row, which is right attached to the restaurant. It's a super nice, fancy restaurant there. You get service from the restaurant itself. Got a great view of the game. I have an account that has four full season tickets there. And his total spend for the season is about $30,000.
Oh, wow.
And so like it can vary. I have a lot from all over. Like my lowest spend account is somebody who has one half season ticket all by themselves. And my highest has four full season tickets there, right in that restaurant area as a whole.
No, that's thank you for that insight. And for the listeners, that's around $500,000 Namibian dollars that account that Hunter has is spending on hockey tickets, just so the listeners can try to grasp what exactly it is we're dealing with here. I'm looking at a list here released by CNBC last year in November about team valuations in the NHL. And the Flyers are eighth with a team value of $2.6 billion, and it says the revenue was $315 million. So
mm-hmm.
of that 315 million, is it accurate to say that the 3 million you were talking about is it contributes to that 315 million?
315? Yeah, million? I'd say that's definitely a part of it. I don't have exact numbers on what our total revenue breakdowns. I'm sure a lot of that is consistent of TV partnerships and ad breakdown and monetary value like that. But mm-hmm. that is, I'd say that my 3.3 billion, like that's something that we heavily consider into that revenue pool there.
Nice. And so, speaking now of this commercial side, I'm sure the Flyers have a long list of commercial partners. Can you touch on the difference in commercial partners between college sports? I mean, Florida State is, I think we can say it, one of the premier, like, you know, college football brands out there. So they do decent in terms of commercial partners, but I'm sure it's a whole different ball game now with the professional side, that like the one that you're working on now.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, great point there. Like for Florida State, which is a big commercial brand, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to where we had commercial brands with several different big name companies for sure. But at the Flyers, that amount is vastly different. Like we have, like our club level is the Bank of America club level. We have our Shift 4 club. That's our like all you can eat food and drink area. That is like Shift 4 is like it's a big hiring firm in America. Mm-hmm. We had our Prime Point Social area, which is that like restaurant that I mentioned. That area typically was named Adrian's. It recently changed to Prime Point Social over the off season, cause that's another branding deal that we've done.
Yeah.
At a corporate side, as a company that's owned by Comcast, you're definitely looking to be able to get whatever, what different corporate partners you can throughout.
Mm-hmm. What's been the most challenging part of working in professional sports so far for you, if anything?
I would just say simply, as somebody who I really enjoy this role, but the answer I would say is the schedule. Mm-hmm. 44 home games is a lot. Yeah. That's just consistently working a ton. My schedule can vary, obviously dependent on what happens throughout the week. We'll have weeks where we have fewer games for sure, but when we have a week that we have a ton of games, it's just very busy on my end. I had a week a couple of weeks ago where I put in close to 90 hours over 7 work days. Mm-hmm. So it can just get tiring.
Yeah, I can only imagine, especially when you have to work weekends as well, and the games are usually at night, right?
Yeah, we very rarely have a daytime game unless it is a weekend game. Mm-hmm. And even those are few and far between.
Yeah. And like you said, you're new to hockey. Are you saying you're slowly becoming a hockey fan as well? Like of the sport in general?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say that I've grown to appreciate it a lot more, being up close and personal to it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would like to add to your experience that I maybe didn't get to ask you today?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but like it's been a really fun and different experience, and I'm glad to be able to have this chance and hope to continue to grow in it.
Awesome. Hunter, thank you very much for giving us that insight into your great job, and I wishing you continued success in your role. Actually, before I let you go, what is, like, are you aspiring to, how do I say, like what do you want to do next? Like, is there a bigger role that you want to get into? Do you want to maybe transition to a different sport, or yeah, just that?
Yeah. Great question. I don't have an exact idea what my next step is, as somebody who's been at this role for less than 6 months still at this point. Mm-hmm. I want to continue being here with the Flyers for the foreseeable future, rather that be coming into potentially be having a leadership position or something like that. I mean, I'm not certainly not opposed to it.
Yeah.
But I'm where I am right now, I'm very happy with how it's all playing out and enjoying the experience, because it's definitely a different one than what I've had, and it's one that I'm excited to keep growing in.
And talk about a little bit about the city of Philadelphia. You know, coming from Tallahassee to Philadelphia, what's that transition been like?
Yeah, great question there. I mean, major difference. Tallahassee is a small town, and not a small town in Florida, but a town with about 100,000 residents there. Mm-hmm. I will always love Tallahassee and be grateful for it, but at the same time, like, this is a whole different ballgame. Philadelphia is like the top, I think it's the sixth most populated city in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's one that I really get the opportunity to. I really like that I get the opportunity to live here.
Nice. And like, social wise, is it any different to Tallahassee?
Oh, I mean, for sure. Just the city itself is much bigger, as I mentioned. So there's a lot more things to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of public transit, which is nice. I'm a big fan of that here. I'm coming from a town where I had to have a car to get around, to where I take the subway every day. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly a nice positive, like just being able to do that. It's not something I was able to do in the past.
Nice. Well, Hunter, again, thank you very much for your time. I'm sure we'll have you on again in the near future, maybe when the Flyers make the playoffs. Maybe we'll talk to you then to get some insight into what the playoff atmosphere is like. But thank you for your time, and again, wish you continued success in your professional sports role.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.